The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 8778-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
And welcome to First Bite, our Detroit Lions offseason preview podcast, where we are starting to talk about the Detroit Lions offseason, their GM search, their head coaching search. My name is Jeremy Reisman. I am the host of First Bite and managing editor of Pride of Detroit. With me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan Matthews at Ryan_POD. Ryan, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. You're definitely both of those things, Jeremy. I wasn't sure if you were unsure of whether or not you're both things, but you are. 100% both of those things, my man.
We're recording on a Friday. I'm thinking about the weekend. I'm thinking about maybe a day off. So I'm not in business mode here, but we got to get to business mode here because on these preview podcasts, we've been talking about the head coaching search. We've talked about a couple head coaching candidates, but the GM search is really heating up for the Lions. They've got a couple interviews already in the bag. They got one coming up that I want to talk about tonight, and that is a former Houston Texans GM, Rick Smith. And so we've got a very special guest with us today to break down, tell us all about him, Aaron Wilson at @AaronWilson_NFL, the beat writer for the Houston Chronicle. Aaron, how are you doing tonight?
Doing great, guys. How are you?
Great. I want to jump right into this. Chris Spielman talked this week, and he talked a lot about the culture and building the culture in the line. So I want to know just, you know, who is Rick Smith as a person? If he's trying to build a culture, what kind of culture is that? Who is he? Is he, you know, kind of an authoritarian type? Is he more of a caring type? From your time working with him or aside him, how would you describe him as a person?
Right. Yeah, just to make it clear. I covered Rick as a beat writer for a couple of seasons, and Rick was pretty firmly established as the general manager. He had been in the position. He had a total of 13 years as general manager, and he started off with Gary Kubiak, and then I covered him in the Bill O'Brien era. And then, so I got to know Rick, not as well as I would say like John McClain, who'd known him, you know, since the early days of the franchise. But yeah, I got to know Rick, and you know, I think Rick did a lot of good things, including especially Deshaun Watson and drafting J.J. Watt and DeAndre Hopkins. He's an accomplished executive. He, I would say, is the strongest at drafting and not missing on high draft picks. That's the big thing for him. He would get that right, and he would have, you know, excellent information. He was good at working trades, and he was somewhat creative when they made a mistake, like with Brock Osweiler and a salary dump and getting out of the contract and moving on from him so that they don't have a long-term cap charge. They typically had good salary cap management with Rick. His management style is inclusive in the sense that he will listen a lot to scouts and coaches. He tended to get Bill O'Brien, the players that Bill, I wasn't here with him with Gary Kubiak, but you know, they would have success finding someone. There was a scout named Mike Martin that identified Arian Foster as an undrafted free agent coming out of Tennessee. And he made sure that Mike got credit for that signing, and he supported that. And then as Arian developed from the practice squad to becoming a Pro Bowl running back, you know, Rick always made sure everyone knew that Mike Martin, you know, was the primary reason that he was on the roster. And I think that builds a lot of loyalty when you do that. I still have guys to this day that will talk about things Rick did, the way he would run the draft room, the conversations they would have. And yeah, I've never had anyone say, well, he's a bad boss, or, you know, he was difficult to work for. I think like everyone, they have their good days and bad days. But yeah, he's a well-liked, popular executive. He was pretty active in the community. He had a very difficult time personally when his wife was diagnosed with breast cancer, and then she passed about a little over a year ago. And, you know, it was a thing that for Rick, you know, he took a leave of absence, but it was a little more complicated than that. There was a conflict with Bill and a power struggle, and Bill won that fight. And I think that he may have would have stepped away regardless because of his personal situation, but it wasn't entirely voluntary because of Bill O'Brien. And yeah, Bill was pushing hard. He wanted to have more personnel power. He took issue with some of Rick's decisions. And well, now Bill is also out of a job after an 0-4 start. They fired him.
Right. Yeah. So Aaron Ryan Matthews from Pride of Detroit. The thing that's interesting, because you kind of just put Rick Smith in a nutshell there for everybody, you know, kind of painted a pretty vivid picture of who he is. I would like to get into a little bit of the minutia, some of the successes and failures. You know, you mentioned he had in player acquisition, some of the big hits that he had, you know, J.J. Watt, some of these other players. Was he kind of the driving force behind the Texans drafting Deshaun Watson?
Yes, absolutely. I don't know if you saw an article I did last Sunday. It ran on a Saturday online, but I wrote a couple thousand words, actually almost 3,000 words about that. And it described what went on in the draft room, what went on the day of the draft, some of the preliminary things that Rick did. Rick had a really strong conviction that he should be the guy. He scouted the national championship game in person. He had spent a lot of time. He worked on everything, though. He didn't do what the Bears did, where they zeroed in on Mitchell Trubisky. His process was to look at all the quarterbacks. And so I was at the airport when Deshaun flew into town for his visit. And me and one other reporter, we met Deshaun when he was arriving at George Bush Airport. And he's going to head over to NRG Stadium. He's waiting for to get his bags and then go to the car. So he just chatted with us briefly. And it was a really important meeting that they put him on the whiteboard. They had a good interaction with him. He talked football with Bill O'Brien and the other coaches. Patrick Mahomes had just left. And I talked to Patrick Mahomes that night about how did your visit go? What was it like talking ball with the Texans? He's obviously a guy from Tyler, Texas. So he was interested, very interested in the Texans. And they did the same thing with Trubisky. They did a very, fair, extensive process, but they preferred Watson. And then they moved to get him. And he asked for a show of hands, and only a few people put their hands up. And he said, well, I'm making an executive decision. I'm making this call right now. We're going to trade for him. And everybody good? And Bill O'Brien was like, yeah, let's do it. He wasn't as enthusiastic. He didn't have the same vision and passion for him that Rick did. Obviously, he got on board, and he didn't have a big problem with it. But that's it. I just would say the enthusiasm that if you even look back at photos from that day, you'll see what Rick looks like as they're making the trade. And, Bill looks kind of, lukewarm. But that said, I think what you look at, that's his biggest, masterstroke move. J.J. Watt, drafting a future Hall of Fame defensive end was good too. In that instance, Patrick Peterson was gone, and he, I was told, would have been the pick. Wade Phillips advocated very strongly that getting J.J. Watt would be like getting a Randy White type of style player, someone that could rush the passer, stuff the run, and Wade had a really strong conviction. But yeah, I would say listening to a really smart defensive coach like Wade Phillips, and, not using only that to make your decision, but listening to that opinion while you're on the clock, those are all good signs. Where he would have a a hole in his game would be drafting in the third round. They missed on a lot of guys. It's a collection of names that was kind of so many people would harp on about that. And, you know, his late rounder, you know, wasn't as good. But when it came to drafting, and not just drafting high in the first round, like, you know, DeAndre Hopkins, a lot of people don't realize this, you know, he was picked in the 20s. And so to get him at that spot, that's good. He missed on some free agents, you know, like Ed Reed. He didn't have enough information on that about Ed's health. Mm-hmm. And Ed was the Ravens, you know, I was covering the Ravens and Ed was washed up. Ed did nothing left. He'd had hip surgery and yeah, it was a really bad decision. And that one backfired on him. But like all of them, they all miss on people. I would say he had a lot more hits than misses. He was a successful executive, and that's why now that you know, he's been through the grieving process, he's been spending time with his family, he's been doing yoga, he's been meditating, he's been reflecting and getting ready for this. He did a little bit of television. You guys probably saw on NFL Live last year with mm-hmm. his friend Adam Schefter. He's very close to Adam. Adam attended the funeral when Tiffany, his wife, passed, Rick's wife. And yeah, I think Rick's, you know, I've talked to a lot of friends of Rick. I haven't talked to Rick in a while, but yeah, I would say everything I've heard is Rick's in a very good place as a dad, as a, you know, as a guy that's a widow and ready for the next step. And, you know, I don't even know if Detroit is necessarily his first choice. I think Atlanta is something Freddie's very interested in. They're very interested in him. It could want to be a competitive situation, but, you know, for Detroit, honestly, the information I've had is that Thomas Dimitroff has a very good chance to get an offer from them. Mm. But they're going to go through a fair process with right. the family and look at everything. But yeah, I've heard there's a lot of enthusiasm for Dimitroff.
Interesting. One last thing before we let you go here. You know, it does sound like Rick Smith is a guy who has, you know, a solid reputation there still in Houston, despite kind of the ruffling of feathers there with Bill O'Brien. In terms of his,
people don't get along with Bill O'Brien.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Bill O'Brien is, I would say Rick's people skills and emotional intelligence and ability to have lasting friendships and good relationships where I'm able to call someone that works for another team that no longer works for him, might not go to work for him, just, you know, because they're settled somewhere else. For them to speak that highly of him and spend a lot of time with a writer on the phone and, you know, just speak on background about Rick and what he did, I would say that speaks volumes because that shows loyalty and also that people respect him.
Absolutely. The one question I want to have before we let you go here is just like, did you kind of grasp an overall philosophy he had while he was the general manager there in terms of whether it's the draft, free agency, is it high character guys, you know, guys with, you know,
he cared a lot about that. He mm-hmm. did not like to bring in, if you look back, they did not have a lot of guys with major off-field problems. If you want to go through, you could see like DJ Swearinger, you know, it wasn't like DJ was the worst behaved guy, where DJ had a few things happen here, a few incidents, one with some car rims thing and his dog bit Jadeveon Clowney and Swearinger was a little out of control in the field. Didn't want to play special teams. That was probably one of his worst draft picks. But yeah, the theme was he wanted fast guys. He wanted very athletic and he was willing to sacrifice sometimes on, you know, workout numbers if the player was special. Like a DeAndre Hopkins. DeAndre wasn't a fast 40 guy, but he really had an understanding of what the player was. Or if you look at Dwayne Brown, who's, you know, the best offensive lineman they ever had, including Laremy Tunsil. Dwayne wasn't that tall, but he's really physical and he had a nasty streak. So, you know, like I think if you look at all of, you know, Rick's guys, he liked toughness. Guys like J.J. Watt, Brian Cushing, like hard-hitting football players. And he was willing sometimes to sacrifice some speed if the guy could just flat out play or, you know, was a smart player. Like Jonathan Joseph, someone he signed to a big contract to leave the Bengals in free agency. That guy played a lot of games, started a long time, but he lasted a long time too. He's still playing even. But I think overall, he was a good GM. He was successful and he had a long run. Most guys don't last that long.
All right, that's Aaron Wilson. Again, you can catch his stuff over at the Houston Chronicle and on Twitter at @AaronWilson_NFL. Before he goes, is there anything you want to plug that Lions fans might be interested in?
Just if you want to read more about Rick, I recommend reading the article from last Sunday about one team's bad decision on Mitchell Trubisky and the Texans' good decision to maneuver to draft Deshaun Watson. I think it's instructive about Rick and his process.
Appreciate that. Okay, we will go check that out. When we come back, we're going to break down everything Aaron said and talk more about Rick Smith as a Lions general manager candidate. Stick with us.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries, not including...
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
And we are back on First Bite, our preview podcast. We just talked to Aaron Wilson, the beat writer for the Houston Chronicle, about Lions GM candidate Rick Smith, the former general manager of the Houston Texans. A lot of interesting stuff there, Ryan. Is there one thing that he said that maybe stuck out to you besides the Dimitrioff stuff, which we'll get to in a minute? But what he said about Rick Smith that either was like, yeah, that's a guy I want, or maybe I don't know about him.
I don't think he said a single thing that made me wary of him in any sense. I mean, I'm trying to parse through all of the stuff he dropped because I even though he was only here briefly, I feel like Aaron Wilson painted, like I said, a pretty vivid picture of who Rick Smith is, not only as a general manager, but also kind of as a person a little bit in terms of his interpersonal relationships. I have to say that the one thing that stuck out to me is the story that he told about Arian Foster and giving credit to that scout who, you know, kind of thumped the table for him as an undrafted free agent coming out of Tennessee and the type of goodwill that that probably generates within an organization. It's almost, yes, it's a reward based system, but at the same time, like you deserve all the credit in the world. If you're the guy who says, hey, I think Arian Foster can be our guy, let's keep him on the practice squad. And then all of a sudden he develops into, a Pro Bowl talent. So I think that that's I think that was maybe, that was my biggest takeaway, I think from what Aaron Wilson had to share about Rick Smith.
Yeah. And I think I came into the interview with three popular concerns that I read from, you know, other fans or even that I had my own. One is the feud with Bill O'Brien. And he basically kind of confirmed what I thought. It's probably Bill O'Brien's fault, probably being kind of an a-hole as he's painted to be. And I think I came away with this interview, you know, thinking, you know, no character issues at all. The guy sounds like, and if you read that Athletic piece on him after, you know, he had to step down from the Texans, you kind of got a sense this guy is actually a stand-up citizen. So that concern gone. Second concern, Brock Osweiler. I mean, we have to talk about it. It was a huge flub, but it sounds like he managed it kind of okay. I mean, for as bad of a mistake as it was, he was only in Houston for a year and they managed to pawn him off pawn him off in kind of a creative way and really not get complete cap relief from. And it's something that they still kind of had to deal with because you're not going to just completely get rid of that. But, you know, they kind of erased it. And then, you know, when you come back and you draft Deshaun Watson, and I knew kind of the story he was telling, that he was the one pounding the table. I'm glad you asked it, though, so that other people could hear. I think that kind of erased all the bad will in terms of him not being able to find a quarterback for really, what, 8 years of his first 12 years there. And granted, he's dealing with a franchise that's still in, it was in its infancy. And it's not easy to find a quarterback in this league.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to say, Jeremy. Like, I think that that's where Lions fans are kind of a little bit spoiled in a sense. Like, Matthew Stafford has been around for so long. Franchise quarterbacks don't grow on trees. They're pretty difficult to find. And sometimes you end up in bed with Brock Osweiler. But I think what you said is one of the most interesting things is that Rick Smith was able to find some creative way to pawn him off on the Cleveland Browns. So, yeah, kudos to him. And kudos to Cleveland just being forever dumb.
Forever dumb. What was my third concern about him? I don't remember now. I was trying to think of that entire answer, but I guess the only other thing I can think of that I really, I guess free agency, like he kind of alluded to it a little bit. Like he's better at the draft. Free agency, there hasn't been a ton of hits, and so you know, he whiffed on Ed Reed, as he mentioned. So maybe a slight concern there. I mean, you're not going to find a perfect candidate here, but I would say Rick Smith is probably solidly in my top five, maybe even higher than that, just because I think the character's there. We heard all week Chris Spielman saying, like, this organization needs to have, you know, one pride. They need to be from top to bottom. Communication needs to be key. They need to be able to work together. They need to be able to delegate. And I think that's what we also heard from the interview is Rick Smith can delegate well. He can trust his scouts to say Arian Foster is really good, or he can trust his scouts to say, who else did he say? JJ Watt, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't his necessarily his idea.
Right. Or even another UDFA, AJ Bouye,
mm-hmm.
was another big hit in Houston.
Yeah. And so I think I'd be totally fine. It's not necessarily a pick that would get me like jumping through the roof or I'm super pumped about it. But at the same time, it's like, listen, the Lions just picked up a good person, a guy with a ton of experience, a guy who has gotten superstars to Detroit. And that's something the Lions really haven't been able to do since Matthew Stafford. I mean, they've gotten okay first round picks, but they don't have those blue chip players on the roster that they so desperately need. They don't have those franchise guys that stick around for years and years and years and years. So I think Rick Smith is a fine candidate, and we'll see how he does on his interview during the week of Christmas. We'll see.
Yeah, and I think the one other thing I want to mention about Rick Smith is his just ability to, and this is something that Aaron Wilson mentioned, you know, in his talk that we just had with him, kind of his drafting philosophy. Like, it was pretty refreshing to hear that he prioritizes things like speed.
Yep.
But that he also he doesn't put a ton of stock into the numbers at the combine if the tape says something else. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So that no GM is going to come without warts, right? I mean, especially I think in the NFL, like if, and I know Rick Smith's situation is a little bit different because he did a really compassionate, empathetic thing to step away from his profession and to take care of his wife. But I mean, if there's a perfect GM candidate, there's a team that he's already attached to. You know what I mean? Like, if right. there's a perfect GM candidate, he's already working for a team. So I think Rick Smith is maybe about as perfect a candidate that you can get that isn't currently a GM that used to be a GM.
Yeah. And Chet's mentioning maybe the one big flaw on his resume outside of Osweiler is hiring Bill O'Brien in the first place. But you have to imagine he probably learned his lesson there, right? Like, if they were feuding as hard as it sounded like they were, I don't think he would risk another head coaching hiring on a guy like him.
Well, hey, and for Lions fans, he's not going to go after somebody else from the Bill Belichick tree. So that should be music to your ears, right?
Yeah, that should really be a positive more than a negative.
Yeah.
All right, before we close things up, we have to talk about him just kind of slyly dropping in the knowledge that maybe the Lions have a very big interest in Thomas Dimitroff, the former Falcons general manager, just fired back in October. Ryan, I know he was high on your list. Why don't you just kind of go into, like, one, how excited him just saying those words made you, and two, why he's such a hot candidate for you?
Yeah, I mean, he just has to be a hot candidate, right? Because he has, again, he has the experience, right? He did it in Atlanta. He really built a team that, I mean, the likes of that offense that the Falcons had when Matt Ryan won his MVP, I mean, that's an all-time offense. I mean, that's a team that was a couple of plays away and, you know, a Teflon Tom comeback away from winning a Super Bowl. So
yeah.
I think that Thomas Dimitroff is right there in the same tier as a Rick Smith. So I think it's interesting that, you know, Aaron Wilson alluded that the Lions might be really high on Dimitroff just because, again, it's an experienced guy. It's a guy who's been a general manager before, and it's a guy who's proven that, you know what, he's hit on a lot of players. So that's why I'm personally interested in Dimitroff. You know, even hiring a guy like, cause Dan Quinn was his hire, if I'm not mistaken. So, yeah. And, you know, say what you will about Dan Quinn, but he eventually put the right people in place. Kyle Shanahan was his offensive coordinator. I mean, he was running the defense, and Atlanta's defense was pretty good too. And I would be happy. Again, I think I kind of echo the same sentiments that you have about Rick Smith. Like, would I be jumping for joy, and would I be outside doing snow angels in, you know, this Michigan winter? Probably not, but I would be much more comfortable than if the Lions go with a guy who doesn't have the experience.
Yeah, I think part of the appeal for me with Dimitroff is just how extensive his resume is. I mean, you won't find a longer resume out of anyone. The guy has been scouting since 1992. General manager for 12 years of the Falcons, director of college scouting for the Patriots before that, and then before 2003, scouter with the Patriots, scouting with the Browns, scouting with the Lions, scouting with the Chiefs. The guy's been all over the place, which is also, I think, a big positive, kind of having that diversified roster where resume, I should say, where you're not just in one place the entire time. But yeah, I mean, you look at the Falcons teams of the past 5-10 years, anytime they struggle, it's never been like, man, that team doesn't have any talent. It's just like, how's the coaching not getting things right now? Like, it felt like that the Falcons had a big drop off, not because of talent, but because Kyle Shanahan went to the 49ers, and defensively they've kind of been up and down. And yeah, again, kind of not getting the right head coach, not choosing the right head coach there, and maybe fighting harder to keep Kyle Shanahan, maybe a big mistake. But I mean, sometimes you just kind of have to let guys go. You can't keep around offensive coordinators as long as you want, and you aren't going to hit perfect on head coaching candidates either. So, Dimitroff is definitely a top five guy for me as well. And to see that the Lions are very interested in him is good news, I would say. Before we close out, is he your leader in the clubhouse right now? I mean, we can go over all the guys that the Lions have been tied to so far, and let's just focus on the external guys. And we're recording this on Friday night, the night in which they already interviewed Louis Riddick. There's Rick Smith. There's Terry Fontenot, the Saints' current vice president, assistant general manager, pro personnel. Obviously, they can't interview him till the Saints' regular season is over. Scott Pioli is a guy who's scheduled to get an interview next week. I don't think he's probably necessarily high on a lot of people's lists. And then Dimitroff as well. So out of those names, the guys that at least have a certain amount of interest from the Lions, is there one that stands out to you?
Yeah, it's Terry Fontenot. And he was on my short list when I wrote about general manager candidates for the Lions. There were three guys: Ed Dodds, Terry Fontenot, and Adam Peters from San Francisco. Fontenot, the reason why he kind of checks the boxes for me is 16 seasons with the Saints organization, sixth season this year as director of pro scouting. You know, he is technically, I mean, his official title is VP, assistant general manager, pro personnel. it seems like the Saints have just done a phenomenal job of keeping talent in New Orleans for such a long time. And, you know, I think that a guy like Fontenot would be a great hire if you're going to hire somebody who, you know, doesn't have the general manager experience. And he's also, I mean, he's enlisted some interest around the league too. I mean, I know the, I think the Falcons were interested in him as well. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they scheduled an interview with him or they're planning on scheduling an interview with him.
Yeah.
You alluded. Yeah. Until the season's over. So he's probably at the top of my personal list. If I'm the Lions and if I'm the brass that has kind of been assembled to lead this search, I have an inkling and a feeling, and it's not just because Aaron Wilson just dropped his name, but I feel like Dimitroff might be the leading candidate for the job.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I came away with today's show with, is that he probably is. I do kind of think I like Rick Smith the most right now, actually. The more I think about it, is just the guy has taken a couple years off. He's settled in. He's ready to get back in there. He's hungry as hell. He's obviously a very good person and a fairly good drafter. I got a lot of faith in a guy like that. I really think he's kind of got his head on straight. And as Aaron Wilson said, he's going to be a hot commodity. I think it might be tough to kind of pry him from Atlanta. It kind of sounds like, based on what he was saying. But, you know, if two people are fighting over a GM, that probably means he's got a pretty good reputation. And by all means, it sounds like he was well loved across the NFL. Part of that, the Athletic piece that was written about him in the aftermath after his wife passed away, was just how many people across the entire NFL went to that funeral. And so having those sort of connections is good in terms of being able to hire other people on your staff. It's good in terms of maybe being able to make moves as a general manager with trades and things like that. So a well-connected, well-respected guy is a guy I want in part of the Lions organization. So I think Rick Smith might be my guy right now.
Yeah. And I think something that we need to highlight about all these guys is, and this is just something that might become a reality here in Detroit. You know, I'm not going to tell Jeremy to kick rocks because of certain Matthew Stafford rumors, but I mean, this is an organization that might have to be preparing itself for life beyond Matthew Stafford. And a guy like Rick Smith pounded the table and drafted Deshaun Watson. Thomas Dimitrov's first draft pick for the Atlanta Falcons, Matt Ryan. And then if you look at Terry Fontenot, yes, sixth season of being director of pro personnel, he was a guy who took a shot on Teddy Bridgewater and, you know, did his due diligence and got a guy who, I mean, now he's in Carolina and he's a starting quarterback. So, that's something really important to keep in mind. I mean, yeah. The quarterback is the straw that stirs the drink for every NFL team. So, that's probably my biggest quality that I'm looking for in terms of the minutia that you get into when it comes to, you know, hiring a general manager, is can they hit on quarterbacks? And these guys definitely have a track record with it.
Yeah. And the Lions might be in a position where they have to be a little aggressive too. And the fact that Rick Smith went up and grabbed, the guy that he wanted is something that he might have to do in 2021, or, you know, if the Lions decide to wait a year, maybe 2022.
So did the Chiefs when they moved up and got Patrick Mahomes, and yep. So did the Bears when they moved up and got, oh wait,
why? All right. And I think with that note, that horrible, horrible note, let's not get Ryan Pace. I guess I think that's what we are all learning. If he becomes available, let's keep him available. Anyways, we'll be back soon. Sunday. I don't know when we're dropping this on our podcast feed. So we'll be keep doing these GM interviews, trying to get to know these candidates from the people that know them best, because that's really the best way to get to know them. And so thank you for joining us today. We'll be back next week with a new episode, with a new host, with a new guest, I should say. Not a new host. My job is not being taken, as far as I know. And we'll talk about a new candidate. So until then, it's chaos. Be kind.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.